Here we go.
Money talks.
Here comes the money.
This is Smart Money, where living smart is about saving, being motivated, anticipate, be responsible, and be timely. I am Joshua Ehlers, your host, joined with me tonight by Jason Summers, my co-host. Good evening, Jason. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Tonight's show is will be pre-recorded from Tuesday, November 13th. So all of our stock market news for tonight will be Tuesday's numbers and everything that happened Tuesday. So before we get started, our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone in California dealing with the wildfires. Out there, there's been some severe destruction and lives lost. So all of our thoughts and prayers go out to them. And happy Thanksgiving to everyone, since we will not be able to do a Thanksgiving show in a couple weeks. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Enjoy your time with your family and everything that you have to be thankful for. Anything you'd like to add, Jason?
No, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Probably one of my favorite holidays. Let's all remember to celebrate this before we get to Christmas. So, yeah, eat some turkey, watch some football. Don't go crazy shopping.
I like that. I like the eating football. Eat it and watch football.
You can try and eat a football. I'm not sure how it's going to work out.
It's apparently just one of those days for me, apparently. Ooh. All right. Why don't we just jump into some market news and stock numbers? I think that's a great idea.
Works for me. So I think I have the honor today. Again, these are from Tuesday's close here. Dow Jones down 100. About 1% there. So not too bad. NASDAQ finished up a penny. So we'll call that flat. And the S&P was down $4. So relatively flat there. Dow got hurt just a little bit, but not too bad there. So call relatively flat across the board, except for the Dow, which down a little. Some of the more common ones, I guess we talked about. Amazon down $5. JP Morgan up a little bit, 64 cents there. Verizon's up 6 cents. Tesla's up $7. Marathon down $1 today. Oil hurting today, to say the least, though. Yeah, those are the highlights. Are you got anything to add there, Josh?
Not that I know. I think you hit them all. So all the numbers. Yeah, why don't we jump into some news then? You got all the numbers? Let's hit the news.
Yeah, I'm sure news will be a little more helpful too, especially since these numbers are a little late. So let's go into some of that.
Yeah, so for the news on Tuesday, why don't we start with the biggest news? Amazon finally announces their headquarters to winner. Who's the winner, Jason?
Oh, let's see. We got Queens in New York City and Arlington County in Northern Virginia there. So just outside of D.C., for those who aren't familiar with the area, it's Arlington County there.
We're picking two?
Yes, there's two of them. Basically, it sounded like the main issue is, finding people to work there. To where it says they'll be creating 25,000 jobs in Long Island City and about 5,000 jobs in the new Operations Center of Excellence, which will actually be in Nashville, Tennessee there. So they're actually, it's kind of almost like a three-part, to where you got a part in Nashville, and then you're going to be having two, it's kind of like HQ 2A and 2B, I guess you could call it. Not sure what they're going to call it, but to where it's in Arlington, Virginia, which I don't know if, we were both in Washington, D.C. for a little bit. Did you ever head to that area?
A little bit. Not a lot, though. I think I was out there because I got lost.
Take the wrong way on the metro there?
No. It was when I was coming home. Got a little turned around, and Josh thought he'd be smart, and I just knew the better way since I had been in D.C. for 10 weeks. So I thought I knew the way. I didn't know the way. So I ended up in Arlington, Virginia. So that didn't work out. But nice area.
It's a nice area. I actually was there on purpose.
Oh, you went there on purpose. That's good.
Nice area. I liked it. Ate at a nice restaurant there with Kira. So yeah, it was a good time. I enjoyed it. But looking in the article here, it says Amazon's going to invest $5 billion in the new locations. And they're also going to receive $1.5 billion in performance-based incentives in Long Island City. But again, creating 25,000 jobs. And they agreed to donate space to the tech incubator for artists and industrial business use and for primary or intermediary public school. And then in Arlington, Virginia there, they're going to receive about $570 million in incentives and a cash grant from Arlington of $23 million over 15 years, which is based on incremental growth of tax on hotel rooms. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'm already seeing an article from CNBC that they're already getting pushback on their New York location.
Really?
This article is saying New York Democrats are picking a fight with Amazon and Jeff Bezos over HQ2 in Queens.
Does it say why?
The summary says Queens Democrats include Representative-elect Alexandria. I'm gonna butcher this last name. Ocasio-Cortez are criticizing Amazon's plan to open offices there, even as Mayor Bill de Blasio and Governor Andrew Cuomo cheer the move. The criticism sets up another potential political fight between Amazon and anti-establishment politicians as it expands its reach across the country and globe. It is unclear what concrete action officials will take to push back against Amazon, though a state assemblyman plans to introduce legislation to cancel the subsidies the company will receive.
That could be big. Yeah. Cancel the some of those incentives there, and you may want to be careful because there's 25,000 jobs that are gone. Not exactly. It's 25,000. I mean, they're good paying jobs too.
Yeah,
really good paying jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a big help for the economy in the area there for sure.
Well, jobs are always good. We have really low unemployment numbers at the moment.
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the main reasons they cited for splitting up into two, is to be able to get more talent in the area. To where finding one area anymore that had enough talent for them that they could get was hard. I mean, next to impossible, it sounded like. So.
So that's interesting. Let's move on to your favorite topic, probably Black Friday shopping.
Yeah, I saw some deals out already.
Deals already? Did you hear about Walmart?
I don't think so.
Guess when they're starting Black Friday sales?
Let me guess. Thursday morning.
Earlier than that, my friend.
Wednesday?
Wednesday night at 10 p.m. online.
So I personally would rather see them do Wednesday than Thursday, actually. I think it's dumb still, but I would rather see that.
No, we're not taking Thursday out, though. We're doing all of them. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So Wednesdays start at 10 p.m. online. Thursdays, 6 p.m. And Friday, I'm assuming the 6 p.m. Thursday kind of just rolls into Friday kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know if the deals ever stop, but people, I mean, kind of take a break to sleep at the night, it sounds like. But here's my problem with it, is you said they start at 5 or 6 on Thursday? They start at 6 on Thursday?
6 local time on Thanksgiving Day.
At 6 o'clock on Thursday, shouldn't you be enjoying dinner with your family?
That's what I was thinking. Or watching football. Not eating football, watching football.
good call. But yeah, no, I think that I don't know how to put it other than just spend time with your family instead of go shopping. I mean, okay, I understand some of you out there are going to say, oh, well, I go shopping with my family, so that kind of counts. There's a difference between running around trying to grab crap that you don't really need with your family and sitting down and enjoying a meal and spending quality time together in a home with them. It's two very different things. And I just don't like how Thanksgiving anymore has turned into a shopping holiday instead of a holiday for being thankful and enjoying what you have, spending time with family.
I would agree with that. It kind of ties in with our lesson tonight on contentment. We figured since this is kind of our Thanksgiving episode, we should do a little lesson on contentment, but actually sitting down and enjoying family and not thinking about shopping is like the all around like what contentment is. I know we can plan for Christmas and what we're going to get each other, but at the same time, you got to kind of have to be content. I think it's more important to sit around and enjoy family than it is to go out and shop. Let's be honest. The deals probably aren't that great. And if they are that great, you might get punched trying to get one.
I haven't seen any Black Friday fights, actually, in the last like year or so.
You haven't seen any?
No, huh?
I remember that one year, that older gentleman got trampled trying to get into the store. And I think there's been some knives pulled on people.
Seriously?
In the past, if I remember correctly. I don't think I'm making it up. I might be, and I apologize, but I don't believe so. I think there's been some injuries on Black Friday shopping.
I mean, that's crazy. You got to pull a knife on someone because you think you're getting that good of a deal for something.
You're really not, though.
I mean, let's be honest. The deal will probably be there later in the day.
Let's just say I remember that there was blood being shed over something. People get just angry about stuff when they come to Black Friday shopping. You know who I feel bad for? The workers. Especially the workers on Thursday.
Well... Oh, yeah, because then the workers can't go be with their family all because you guys kind of come out and shop. Yeah, that's rough. I'll actually be working Black Friday this year.
Wait, back up.
I will be working Black Friday at Verizon, so.
I'm so sorry, buddy.
It's not too bad, actually. I kind of enjoy it. I mean, from a sales perspective there, it's like one of the busier days of the week, and you actually have like some good deals to where it's helping out people. And it's on Friday, so I don't really care because it's not Thursday. So it's not bad. I mean, I work Fridays anyways, usually. Yeah. So, would I rather probably be home being a bum on the couch? Probably. But, I mean, it's kind of enjoyable because there's always people coming in. You're not really bored or anything like that.
Okay.
But it's interesting to say the least.
I bet it is.
It is, yeah.
I was talking with another guy here. I was talking to Jaden. He's working at Walgreens.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying their busiest time is Christmas.
Christmas Day?
Christmas Day. And I had to think about it for a second. It's because Thanksgiving, everyone gets all their big shopping done at like the big retail places. Walmart, Meijer, Best Buy, Target, all those, right? Mm-hmm. Most people aren't thinking Walgreens, right? Until they're the only ones open on Christmas Day.
They're open on Christmas Day?
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah. But they're the only ones open. So they make all of their last minute sales during Christmas time. While other employer, companies just kind of closed down. They got all of their, last minute year-end sales are completed. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that. That's interesting.
What do you say we move on to our next topic here, or not topic, article? Let's go Snapchat. They're launching new features today.
Really?
Yeah. They just launched a new feature that lets you create a highlight reel of your messages with friends.
I don't know if that's a good idea. Highlight of messages?
Yes, messages.
Now, I've always thought that they should do, like, I like the highlight reel of like the year, everything you put on your story.
Yeah.
I really like that. I don't know if highlight reel of messages would be a good idea.
Well, it says it creates landing pages of your interaction histories with each of your Snapchat friends. You can access these profiles by tapping on a friend's Bitmoji, where you'll find any content you've ever saved in a chat with a friend. The feature will be rolling out to users slowly over the coming weeks, along with other features that are designed to highlight your relationships on Snapchat. Good move, bad move.
I guess you gotta do something different to keep people from getting bored, but I think it sounds weird. It sounds a little better now that you said it's only like texts that are chats that you've saved rather than every chat.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of usually like the thing that people like about Snapchat is that it deletes them after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Right away, pretty much. So yeah. I think that would be a little sketchy if they're like, hey, everything you thought was gone is now in a highlight reel.
That could be what they do April 1st. They released an article that says, April Fools, everything is saved.
That'd be interesting. It'd be interesting. Say the least.
That would be interesting. But yeah, I think it's just what you save, and only the people you send it to can see it. But I think you can do it in a group chat though too. So that's kind of cool.
Oh, that would be kind of cool. Yeah. In a group chat with a bunch of friends and stuff. That actually would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. Okay. I like it.
So we'll see. See if people react to Snapchat well with that. You know what they really need? They need to come back with the whole best friend things that other people can see, like your best friends.
Ooh, you like the controversy one. Mix it up. Let me see who's your best friends thing.
Yeah. That just kept it interesting.
Yeah. Made people be more faithful, I think. That's why a lot of people didn't like it.
I like it for that reason, though.
I do, too, as well. I feel like if you have something to hide, you really shouldn't. So.
Yeah, bring that one back, Snapchat. Keep people on their toes.
I think it'd be hilarious. Just randomly do it every now and then. Just randomly show you and not say anything. And randomly give people notifications like, oh, hey, here's Josh's best friends. You look at it and be like, okay.
Well, the thing about my best friends, they change every time someone Snapchats me because I don't Snapchat enough.
Oh, that's painful.
A little personal info about Josh there. All right. How about we move on from Snapchat?
Yeah, let's move. Let's move.
Our next article here is on, credit card defaults are down, but debt levels are on the rise. From MarketWatch here. It says, I think there's less charge-offs, maybe? I think what was going on. Basically, when you open a credit card, you get a minimum payment. And if you miss this minimum payment for 6 months, your card is put in default. And then after default, they just charge it off. And it says there, I think people aren't charging off as much, which, hey, that's good. But it says the consumer debt is a little bit below $14 trillion ceiling, with a whopping $9.43 trillion of that being categorized as housing debt.
Ooh, housing bubble part two.
I've been hearing a lot about housing bubble part two.
Yeah, hopefully that doesn't quite happen, but guess we'll see.
It'll be interesting.
I mean, we started lending money to everyone, their brother. I don't know. Interest rates are going back up, though, so that should kind of discourage it, you would think. But I mean, if you're still
lending. I mean, if a bubble pops and there's cheaper land and houses?
Well, no. The interest rate going up should increase the cost of borrowing to where it would effectively price people out of the market.
So it left a little air out of the bubble then.
Maybe. Hopefully.
I don't know.
Every time the Fed raises it a quarter of a point, it's kind of like poke the bubble a little bit, maybe. Let some air out, hopefully. I don't know. Maybe the banks just say, yeah, hey, let's keep lending them, and it's at a higher interest rate, so we'll make more money anyways. Depends on how they want to take that.
Yeah. What's this? The current average APR is 17%.
Just your everyday bargain of 17% interest there. Wow.
Bargain.
Yeah, bargain. That's disgusting. 17% interest.
Jeez. Hey, but talking about houses, do you see Chip and Joanna Gaines are coming out with their new network?
I did. Well, is it a new network or is it a new show on a different network?
New show, new network. Like, it's their own kind of network, I believe.
Yes. That's something I can get behind right there. I am a big fan.
Same.
I am reading Chip's book right now, actually, Capital Gains.
I want to borrow that after you're done with it.
I read a little slow, so you'll have to wait. But yeah, eventually I'll get there. It's a good book so far. So,
but yeah, it's on Discovery now, and I think it's their own little network in Discovery. So that should be interesting. And I think they're making a show with that network plus others, so it should be good.
Good for them. Good.
I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, they got quite a few kids now and everything. I'm surprised. I figured they'd be, once they called off Fixer Upper, I thought they were just kind of laying low. And I mean, they have the restaurant, the silos, the bakery now. I mean, they got enough things to bring in income. Yeah, I figured they were just going to enjoy life and spend time with the kids and stuff, but well, I can't say I'm disappointed that they have another show.
Did you watch their interview with Jimmy Fallon?
No, I did. I saw all the stuff on social media of Chip banging on the window outside.
That was the Today Show.
Yeah, I saw the Today Show clip, but I didn't see the other one.
They were on with Jimmy Fallon, and Chip said that they figured out why they have so many kids. They have too much free time. They said every time when they were in the show, there was no kids. As soon as they stopped the show, they had a kid. Now they're starting a show. So, yeah, that was his theory. So
that's hilarious, actually.
Yeah, and it came from Chip, so it made it even funnier.
Oh, yeah. He's a good dude. I like Chip.
I know. I'm excited for this new show they have coming out. So yeah. Looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, good for them. Wish them the best. I'm sure it'll be successful, but good luck.
Yeah, you got a lot of fans out there.
Oh, yeah.
What do you say? We got one more here, and then we'll move on to say what. I got this article from Forbes, the big millennial life insurance gap. So we were talking last week about insurance. This article says only 10% of millennials say they have enough life insurance to place to cover self-reported needs should they die, putting their family members at risk. This study was done by the New York Life 2018 Life Insurance Gap Survey. It says millennials with life insurance have an average of $100,000 in life insurance protection in place, enough to cover one-fifth, 22% of their self-reported coverage needs of $452,000, with a coverage shortfall of $352,000. What do you think about that?
I mean, never good to see the shortfall there. I mean, $100,000 is actually pretty low for insurance, honestly. I wonder if a lot of that probably just has to do with like work and like work policies they get, where it's just kind of like free offered from work or really cheap, to where I'm assuming people aren't taking like initiative to go out and get it. But I mean, it's not that expensive, honestly, compared to other things. So
yeah. So this one paragraph is comparing millennials to like the other generations. It says, so they define a millennial as anyone born between 1981 and 1996. So ages 22 to 37, which...
That's me, technically.
Me too, buddy. But that's a large gap, 37 to 22.
Yeah, it's, I mean, any time you have this, I mean, to where we're both right at the very end, to where it's like, are we millennials? Are we whatever they're calling the next generation? It's kind of just this awkward, you're in the middle type thing, and doesn't really mix or match well. But
yeah. But it's saying that millennials report a 78% shortfall in life insurance coverage. Gen Xers born between 65 and 80 38 to 53 report a 48% coverage shortfall. Gen Xers, the medium amount of life insurance coverage they say they have in place is 272,000, while they say they need 525,000. And baby boomers say they have 190,000 of coverage but need 300,000, a 37% shortfall. So millennials definitely need to go out and get more life insurance.
Yeah, I mean, it says in here, for a healthy 35-year-old male, it would cost about $250 a year for a 20-year level term policy with a $500,000 death benefit. So for, I mean, was that 20 bucks a month? Just over 20 bucks a month? My math's right there. I think it is. You can get $500,000 worth of coverage for 20 years, and that's even being 35. So if you're younger than that, if you're 30 or if you're 22, our age, yeah. I think I said on the show the other a couple weeks ago, and you kind of called me on it, that it's literally like $20 a month or under. It's pretty cheap. Pretty cheap if you're young and healthy.
Get it young. And I love this Forbes article because they say term. That is a key word in there. Level term policy will cost $250 a year. It didn't say whole life or universal life. Term. Get it when you're young. Term is really cheap. You can set the term up for 20 to 30 years. And it, basically it's there when you need it. And it gives you the opportunity to build wealth. So when that term runs out, you don't have a necessity for it anymore.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think about it too, if you get a 25-year policy, I mean, by that time, you should be debt-free. You should probably have paid off your house. And if you got a kid, guess what? They're out of the house. So there's no one depending on your income anymore. If you are married, your spouse can probably definitely live by on all the savings that you have by then. So at that point, there's no need for it, and it works out perfect. Whereas if you keep yourself in a constant state where you need life insurance all the time, that's where you start running into problems and you have to pay an insane amount for life insurance when you're 70, because the chances of you dying at that age are getting pretty good. Yeah. I mean, fun fact, everyone, you're going to die. It's not if, it's when.
Very, very true, Jason. Very true.
I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. It's a fact of life. You got to embrace it. Live it up while you got it.
You're not wrong.
Well, all right. Is it grind my gears time?
It sounds like you're ready. Sounds like you got something on your chest that you need to get off your chest.
I mean, not really. I guess I kind of went into mine already. Mine's Thanksgiving Day shopping.
Oh, yours is Thanksgiving Day shopping.
I just don't like it. I think there is much better ways to spend time with your family and things like that. To spend time with your loved ones, sit down, have a meal, connect with family that you haven't seen in a while, or whatever it is that you do. Start a family tradition, whatever it is. I don't care. Spend some time with your loved ones. Have a good meal. Be fat. It's your day. It's Thanksgiving. It's literally made to eat a lot of food. Don't feel bad about it. Go run Friday. But it's a great day for family and fun. And I just think that if you are out shopping, trying to trample some old man to get what you want, it's not a good way to spend a day that we should be giving thanks.
I agree with that. Very, very much so. Yeah. Do you watch Friends?
I don't.
Well, there's an episode where Joey tries to eat an entire turkey. So he goes and puts on maternity pants and he calls them his fat pants, his eating pants, so he can finish this entire turkey. If you haven't seen it, go find it on YouTube. Look up the episode or get on Netflix, watch it. But it's a good episode. But yeah, eat a lot of food, watch football. And before you eat a lot of food and watch football, go do a turkey trot.
I heard one's called the Galloping Gobbler, I think. Mm-hmm. So there's some creative names. Yeah. Do a race. Do a little run. Yeah, no, that's all I got.
That's all you got.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what about you?
So I'm tired of credit card commercials.
Anyone's particular?
Oh, what's in your wallet?
What's in your wallet? There you go. I've seen a lot of the American Express one. The Pay It Planet.
Oh my gosh, don't get me started.
With the mattress? But who could ever pay for a mattress outright though? Oh
my gosh, I don't know. Let's find someone with some cash. Why? I'm just getting sick and tired of every time I want to watch football, I have to listen about Capital One Saver Card. Congratulations, you just earned 4% on your bowling trip. What?
What was the average rate we saw earlier? 17%?
Yeah.
Save 4, spend 17%. Yeah, you know.
I don't get it. We're always losing, and we watch these commercials in American Express. Bravo to you. You found a way to make people use your card, and now you can pay a planet or something like that. What in the world? What is going on nowadays? Just pay for the mattress. Why we got to put it on a card? Dumb stuff like that. I just want to watch football in peace and not have to listen to these commercials about credit cards that only hurt people. They don't help you. They hurt you. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, I agree. That's really about all I watch on TV anymore, honestly, is football games. And even that, I don't watch too much. College football is coming to a close here. After that, I mean, I'll probably watch basketball, but other than sports and HGTV, Food Network every now and then. I know, I'm an old man. I'm old at heart. But I watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, a little bit of Chopped, Fixer Upper. That's about it.
I'm watching too many shows. But every time I watch sports, I got to watch some credit card commercial. I don't want them. I want them off the airwaves.
I wonder if there's some kind of logic with that, though. To why do they do so many during sports? I mean, I mean primetime television, but...
Well, American Express sponsors some sporting events.
Okay.
Capital One, I believe, is the same way.
Okay.
And
it's because they got all that money to sponsor stuff from you.
that 23% interest rate. Because guess what? They charge you 23, but they only gave you 4. Just ridiculous. Get them off. I don't want to see them anymore. She can do more than 2 crunches with that bed.
Nice. Speaking of football, on a lighthearted note here to end the session, how did your fantasy football go this week?
Why you got to bring that up?
Say, for all you out there, we have a fantasy football league here in our dorm, and Josh and I are actually neighbors in our dorm, and we played each other this week, and it was a close one, I will say. I was projected to beat you by, I think, about 35 points going into it, and ended up, I think, won by 15, 16.
Yes, the final score was 141 to 125.4. I had a lot of people out. My good guys, they were on bye, so a rough weekend for me. Yeah. It wasn't as bad as my other league though. I have another league with all my cross country buddies. I got beat by 80.
Ow.
Yeah, it was a real rough one. My team's called the Mighty Misfits. Only because we thought it'd be a great idea to have 14 people in the league. So when you got down to the later rounds of the draft, there weren't
slim pickings.
Yes, it was very slim pickings. Well, then everyone that I drafted decided I'm gonna get hurt early on, and then I can't play later. So then I just started going to the waivers and picking up players. And it literally became the Mighty Misfits because they were all from waivers and they didn't make any sense. So, but yeah, that team didn't do too hot either this weekend. I got my butt kicked.
Good. Well, there we go. Sorry to get off topic.
No, it's all right.
Bring that up.
You just had to.
I had to.
I get it. Well, I'm not going to talk about the pain and suffering I suffered this weekend in fantasy football. Let's talk about Acorns. The investment app Acorns on this edition of Say What? So Acorns thinks they have solved the retirement issues.
I'd like to hear more.
They hired a behavioral economic person. I can't talk. I don't know what. All right, a little technical difficulty there. We're having mic issues, and the mic stand is falling. Oh, there we go. All right, we're good. So, they announced the launch of Money Lab with Shlomo Benarti, who is known for his research on retirement savings and the Save More Tomorrow program. So, the idea is, his first experiment with Acorns is focused on a simple question asked in 3 different ways. Would you like to save $5 every day, $35 a week, or $150 a month? Which, if I believe so, all comes out to the same amount.
$5. Yeah, I think you're right. Yep.
because that's basically what behavioral mm-hmm. economics is. In your mind, which one looks like less that you can afford? So he's doing a study on that. So I was scrolling through this article, and I'm thinking, that's how we're going to save for retirement. We're just going to save $5 every day.
I like this quote here. It says, this is what accounts for this huge shift in preferences. Well, I guess I should say this first, though. 7% opted to have the $150 compared to 30% who opted for $5 a day. And it says, what accounts for this huge shift in preferences, even though choices are equivalent, saving $5 a day makes us think about skipping a Starbucks latte. That seems doable. While $150 a month makes us think about car payments, which is much more daunting amount to give up.
What?
$150 of your check is worse than $5 a month? I think people need to do some math.
No, it's $5 a day. They'd rather give up $5 a day.
That's rough.
I don't get it. This is just, you know what you need to do? Create a budget and put 15% away. I like that math better.
Yeah.
How are we supposed to... Really? That's our retirement? What's that even come out to?
$150 a month?
Yeah, what's that come out to?
In a year?
Yeah.
I mean, 15 times 10, 100, it'd be $1,500. So you're looking.
I got 18.
Yeah.
1,800.
Yeah, sounds right.
That's not enough. I don't believe so. What's the max on some retirement? I'm drawing a blank.
Well, so this Acorns actually isn't a retirement account.
No, they changed it. They have Acorns for later, I believe, now.
Oh, so is that like an IRA then?
Yeah, they have like an actual retirement kind of thing.
Good. But. So, I mean, I guess if it's actually putting in an IRA then you got $5,500 this year, $6,000 next year. So you're a third of that? Good try. Better luck next time.
Please go to a financial advisor. Please actually, like, I don't go set up a portfolio. Don't do it on a mobile app. It's just crazy. I like the idea. I get the concept of it, but just put it in a budget. Like, you should know what you have coming in for the month, and you can budget it out, and your retirement should be in there. What this is like for people that, you know, you're just like, no, not creating a budget, and you're just living free willed, and it just doesn't make sense.
So. Yeah, and I think the big thing too is this is a lot for people who aren't intentional about it. To where if you're not intentional about your retirement, you're not going to end up with a good retirement.
Well, you better be intentional.
Yes, I mean, you need to. You need to be intentional. You need to be, I mean, on a mission to be able to retire successfully. And it's a goal you should have, and you should be, I mean, checking in on it regularly and doing steps that you need to do to get there. And this is basically saying, oh, well, you might be able to retire someday, and I don't know, just throw some change here and there at it, and I'm sure it'll all be okay, right? And it's not how it should be.
No.
It really isn't. I mean, if you invest small change, you're going to end up with just a little bit more of your small change.
Exactly. You got to be focused, not finished. You got to have some gazelle intensity going into some retirement.
I like that. Focused, not finished. I like that.
Yeah, that's from my buddy, Chris Hogan. I'm going to call it my buddy.
Good.
But yeah, I look at Acorns as if you use your debit card, instead of using cash, you know, if you used cash, you'd always get like your change back. That's how I look at Acorns. It's like a digital coin jar.
Oh, yeah. So instead of going home and emptying your pockets every day, you just empty your pockets into this Acorns account.
Yeah.
It's a good metaphor. I like that. It's
and
good
then, visual. And then at the end of the year, you get to go look at it, and then you can bring it back. But even if you're on a budget, that's still not going to work.
Yeah. No. And I mean, this kind of goes, clearly doesn't include any of the baby steps in there that we've kind of talked about, to where this would be people just randomly investing kind of wherever they were in the baby steps, and depending on wherever they were at in the process, I mean, it doesn't sound like there's any idea to get out of debt first or do anything first. There's no, I mean, like we said, there's no real goals to it. It's just kind of, well, we're going to do a little bit of everything and hope something works out. And when you do a little bit of everything, you end up doing not a lot of anything.
Yeah, I don't think there's no intentionality with it. When you're trying to, I don't know, pay off debt or save for retirement, you got to have intentionality. So. With Acorns, it just doesn't seem like there's intentionality. I think their intentions are good, but I don't know. I don't see it working. Like, it might work, but I guess we'll find out. I think we'll take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll jump into our lesson tonight on contentment. You're listening to Smart Money on 96.1 The Whip.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure, if you want.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing too?
I don't see why.
What about a bike ride? No, I want to fish.
Okay.
I've never been fishing.
Honey, we can do it all.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not.
Is it going to be long?
No, sweetie.
I bet it takes forever.
It's not that far.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already? No way. Come on, come on.
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Also, find fun activities to do like boating and biking or camping and hiking, plus much more. It's all right in your naturehood. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back to Smart Money on 96.1 The Whip. So we're going to jump into our lesson tonight on contentment. And to give us a little help, I'm going to bring in Dave Ramsey's daughter, Rachel Cruz, her book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs, into our little conversation tonight. And I think Jason is bringing along one of his own articles. Who's your article?
Well, so mine, actually, I was reading a book. I got an ebook actually, and it's called 13 Things Mentally Strong People Do. It's by Amy Morin, I believe is how you say her last name. It was kind of coincidentally came across it. And you said when we were doing the sleep this week, I was like, oh, hey, I just found some good stuff on there. So I went back, screenshot it, and figured we could use it.
Awesome. So I guess we'll start with Love Your Life, Not Theirs, and then we'll finish with that.
Perfect. Let's go for it.
So in her first chapter of her book, she talks about comparisons are killing us. And when it comes to contentment, you can't compare yourself to anyone else. I know the old saying, live like the Joneses. You can't compare yourself to anyone. You have to, what's your goals? What's your dreams? How are you going to get there? That is your focus with you or you and your spouse. Or if you don't have a spouse, you have to have someone that's holding you accountable. And you can't compare yourself to anyone. But she goes on and talks about comparisons in our pockets, our phones. You can compare yourself to anyone on social media that you want to. You can pull out your phone and compare your life to someone else's and by the touch of an app, and you can't do it.
That's pretty dangerous, too, because it seems like everyone always puts, like, your best self forward on social media, too, so that's even more dangerous there.
It is.
Where it's like they put their fake life out there to where it's like, oh, everything's great and perfect. You never see bad stuff on there. It's always the good stuff.
And that was our next point. It's always better than reality.
Yeah, sorry, steal your thunder there, but yeah.
No, that's fine. But yeah, everything's always how they want people to see it. I think it plays into our huge consumerism that we have. Someone else has something. Oh, I gotta go do it too. No one's content with what they have. She was talking about before she's in the first part of the chapter about how her and her husband, Winston, had just saved enough cash to go on a little weekend getaway to, I think it was Charleston. And she got back, jumped on social media, saw one of these models went to Greece. And she was looking up prices to flights to Greece. And she had just got back from weekend getaway. And that's when she realized, like, she can't be doing this. You can't compare, you know, life. They had just, you know, got married, just started. Yeah, so... Yeah, can't be comparing yourself. Nothing's ever as good as it seems. No matter how bad you see some kitschery model that looks so good from a friend, can't do it.
No matter how many times you see Chip make a crappy old house look like something brand new, can't try to do that to yours all the time.
No,
it'll never look the same either.
And if you do, it's going to turn into a rat race, a rat on a wheel.
That's true. And then next show, you'll be like, oh man, I should have done that. Yeah, good point. I like it.
Hey, just if you're content, life is so much better. If you're not trying to compare your life to someone else's or try to do what they're doing, you just become miserable. So if you are if you're getting married. I know you're getting married soon, yeah.
That is true. In July, I will be, actually.
Ooh, it's coming up.
That it is.
A lot of wedding planning there.
We've got a lot of it out of the way, so yeah.
There you go.
Not bad.
Well, multiple years down the road from this, kids, competitive parenting.
Go into that a little more. We're talking like the like dance moms that are like crazy, or like what kind of competitive parenting are we talking here?
Like this mom just bought this for her newborn. I gotta buy it for my newborn, kind of game.
Oh yeah, so like the oh
like they bought I'm a you better parent than you.
Yeah, they bought you a stuffed dog. Here's your real dog, type thing. You're always kind of trying to one up everyone else. Okay, I got you there. That's one thing I didn't think about. That that's a pretty good point.
She was talking about comparisons among pregnant friends. Are you sick? Did you actually throw up, or do you just feel nauseated?
So making it
she
seem
says
like,
some women compare how bad their morning sickness is, but it doesn't stop there. Are you still working out? Translation: how much weight have you gained? Have you registered for baby gifts yet? Where? No, not there. You need to register here instead.
Hey, registering is actually pretty fun. We just did a wedding registry event down at Crate and Barrel.
Did you get the price gun?
No, like they don't do like the flow like name your price guns. there's an app and you just use your phone. So
well, that's kind of cool. So
it's pretty cool. I mean, it's not as
it's kinda, too convenient. Like you just kind of go scan the whole shelf.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I enjoyed it.
But and then she says, "What kind of stroller did you get? Did you get your baby furniture at Pottery Barn Kids, or did you go with that cheap stuff?"
That cheap stuff.
Man, competitive parenting at its finest right there.
See, and that's a weird thing too, especially with where'd you get your baby stuff and everything. I mean, talking about making a registry, like it's weird because you can put stuff on there that you would never buy for yourself because it's so expensive, to where it's weird because like you want to put stuff on there that's reasonable, but yeah, it's like nice stuff still. So like I could see that, especially if you're one of the competitive parent people, that'd be interesting.
I feel like it just brings us out, and like our culture just it brings it out.
Oh, no doubt.
You start comparing, we're not women, so we can't really compare this. And I feel like the dad, wouldn't think anything of it, but the mom would be like, oh, I got to go to Paradise Brown. I got to get better clothes for my kid. I got to get him the name brand baby clothes that he's going to outgrow in, 6 months.
Yeah, dads are always, yeah, the kids got clothes on. That's good. Good enough for me.
Yep. So, but I think that's all. Yeah. And she says, looking at each other. Yeah, like daily routines are filled with comparisons. Starts on Sunday at church. Like parking space behind you. When they get out, not a wrinkle in sight. It was all pressed.
Yeah, did you drive your nice car to church?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And their clothes are all designer, boutique clothes, all coordinating. Makeup and hair are perfect. 9 a.m. church. Comparisons all around. You might not think you're doing it, but you're actually doing it. But don't let it cost you your financial future to try to live up to someone else's standards. Like Dave says, don't try to impress people you don't know with money that you don't have.
Buying stuff you don't need.
Yeah, you don't need money you don't have to impress people you don't know.
Yeah, so, good way to look at it.
Yeah, comparisons are all around. Be careful. Don't get caught comparing your life to someone else's and trying to match them and live up to them. For all you know, I like to look at it this way. Look at the guy that, let's say he parks behind you at church and the family gets out of their Mercedes. For all you know, none of that is paid for. The car has a huge red 6-figure digits over it in parentheses for county people. That's negative. Negative balance on it, you know. All the clothes probably, you know, some might not even be paid for it. They might have just bought it the day before on Saturday. They went shopping and they bought a bunch of new clothes on credit. We have to change our thinking a little bit. For all you know, next time you see a nice car and you're like, oh, I wish that was me, just think about the fact that it's probably not paid for. And it changes your entire outlook at that point.
Yeah, that's a good point. Picture the payment on that and no thank you.
payment, insurance, all that good stuff.
Yeah. How much money you have tied in up in it if you get in an accident or anything. And,
or look at it this way. If you drive like a, you know, like a Ford or GMC, nothing fancy. Just think about those auto, like those mechanic, you know, mechanic trips you have to, something breaks down. It's going to be a lot more with that. You just got to be content with what you got.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's better, you're better off. All right, Jason, what you got for us?
Oh, we're going to go on to mine here.
Yeah.
What you all got right. For? So mine from that book again, 13 things mentally strong people don't do. And again, Amy Morin is who that was. And so the chapter, it was the first one, and it was on how people, or how mentally strong people don't wallow in self-pity. And one of the things that was kind of the more practical thing she said you can do to kind of help with that was to look for the little things in life that you can so easily take for granted and work towards increasing your feelings of gratitude. So this kind of fits in with our idea of contentment here with Thanksgiving coming up. And here are a few simple habits that can help you focus on what you have and what to be grateful for. So the first one, interesting idea, keep a gratitude journal. She says each day write down at least one thing you're grateful for. And it could be,
I like that idea.
Yeah, it could be even anything simple. She says using even examples of having clean air to breathe. Again, people out in California with wildfires don't quite have that luxury. So here in Ohio, we're grateful for it. But most of the times, you don't even think about it.
Yep.
Or even having the sun shining. Or even bigger things like your family or job or anything.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Kind of take a step back and think of the things that you just take for granted every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the next step here, say what you're grateful for. And I mean, this kind of goes for some of the people that don't want to journal. I know, I mean, some people, it's not the most practical thing. But actually saying it each night or each morning before you go to sleep, you can say it out loud to yourself, to someone else. Just kind of making a habit of it. To where if you're not going to journal it, you can also say it out loud. I know we kind of incorporate Bible verses stuff on here to where you can say in a prayer, be thankful for it, give thanks to God for all that you have. Again, another way to just be more grateful.
Now, when you say it, don't try to one-up someone and be hashtag blessed on Instagram.
You know, this is just be genuine. This is, I mean,
this is humbleness here. This isn't a show off or anything. We're not hashtag blessed here. We're just being content and happy for what we have. I like saying it in prayer, thanking God for what he blessed you with, what he gave you. So I like that. What else you got for us?
Yeah. So the next one here, it says change the channel when you're experiencing self-pity. This one doesn't quite go along with gratitude, but again, it says if you're ever knowing, start feel sorry for yourself. Or even just in general, if you're, I mean, getting jealous of something, if you see that car that comes on the commercial, you see the American Express commercial that Josh loves so much about the mattress, turn the channel. You always turn the channel.
No, that kind of works out. Like, if you catch yourself comparing your life to something you see on TV or Instagram or Twitter, shut it off. Get off of it. Go outside. Go for a walk. Get your mind off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't see it and jump on your laptop and jump on Google and start, oh, where can I buy it?
Yep. Good. Yeah.
Cleanse your body of it. Get it out of your sight, out of sight, out of mind.
Yep. Be grateful for the things that you have too. And she brings up another point here to where if you did journal, says when you're experiencing times like that, pull out that journal and start reading through some of those good things you had. Kind of like you used to get out, do whatever you need to do and get your kind of mind right there. And then next point, this one I really like, ask others what they're grateful for. So it's not just looking in at you what you're grateful for, but asking others.
Like
and not
that.
Only are you becoming more grateful and also hearing their experiences, but by asking someone else, you also have the chance to make them in turn think about the things they're grateful for and maybe have a little bit of a positive influence on them.
And with that one, you could take it a step further, especially like parents with kids. Ask your kids what they're grateful for. Sometimes their answers will really put like life in perspective for you. Kids say that some of the smartest things sometimes when you don't expect it.
That's true, yeah.
And you ask them one time at night when you're, you know, feeling like you're not doing, like you need to impress someone or you need to get something to make their life better. ask them one time what they're grateful for. It might change your entire outlook, for, you know, for the rest of their life until they're, you know, out, off and out to college. So, yeah. If you have other people in there, you know, ask them what they're grateful for. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also said that in hearing what others are grateful for can also remind you of other areas in your life that you may not have thought of too. So it kind of helps you out there too. But then you kind of touched on the last point here. It says teach kids to be grateful. I mean, we kind of talked about parenting stuff there. Where if you're teaching children to be grateful for what they have is one of the best ways to keep your own attitude in check. And again, make it a habit for something that you do, and that way your kids see it in you as well. And I mean, for kids, more is caught than taught. I think that's something that Rachel says,
yep.
Bringing her into it,
yep.
To where, I mean, kids learn great by seeing. And there's another part in here where it says, maybe you do have a gratitude jar, or you hang stuff on a bulletin board, to where it's just kind of a fun reminder for the whole family, to where you can get everyone incorporated in it. But just kind of having not only you and asking others and teaching your family to be grateful, it gets kind of the whole attitude around you. So I thought that was really great stuff. I liked reading that.
It was a good part. So. I like all those points, and especially with the kids thing. And when you teach them contentment, gratitude, it really changes their life, and you can really change, like, the, you know, culture on your family. It's not people trying to live up to anyone else's expectations, you know, just living life, you know, being happy for what you have.
Yeah.
More focusing on your own interests and hobbies than anyone else's. Like, if something isn't your style and you're doing it to impress someone, why are you doing it at all? Like, why are you even doing it? If it's not something you enjoy, why are you doing it? Just do the stuff that you enjoy, be content, enjoy family. If you have that significant other, family, enjoy family. Thanksgiving's coming up. Be thankful. Enjoy family. Don't think about Christmas and what you want for Christmas. You can think about it a little bit, because I know for my family, you know, that Christmas is soon. After you see people at Thanksgiving and Christmas comes up, so Thanksgiving's the time you ask around and get ideas, but at the same time, take most of the time this, you know, next coming Thursday, take time with family and just be content with life and what you have, and start a gratitude journal.
Yeah, I like it. So we're running low here. You want to go ahead? Yeah, and,
I will read off our verse of the day. Our verse of the day comes from Philippians 4:11. I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. It's pretty simple. I'll read it one more time. I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I think that's not, I don't think I need to explain that. It sums up everything we've talked about with contentment tonight.
Pretty straightforward. And then quote of the day here. This one is from Benjamin Franklin.
Whoa.
So, you know, it's going to be a good one here. It says, content makes poor. Okay, let me start that over. See if I can read this time. Contentment makes poor men rich. Discontent makes rich men poor.
Ben Franklin, the wise words of Ben Franklin. I love that one.
Man knew what he was talking about. Yep.
And it really does. If you're trying to, like Dave says, if you're trying to impress people you don't know, you're gonna end up poor.
It's a finish line you'll never cross.
You're gonna be a rat in the wheel. Yeah. I don't think I have any more to say on that.
That's all I got. It was a great episode. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Be content, people. Be out there. Don't try to live up to anyone's expectations but your own. Enjoy your own life, your own hobbies, your own self-interest. Try to make your own life better. Don't try to compare it to anyone else's. So I think that's all we have for you tonight. Thank you, Jason, for joining me again.
It's always a pleasure.
Everyone out there, enjoy Thanksgiving. Be content. Be grateful. If you go Black Friday shopping, Jason's favorite thing to do. Be safe out there. Don't get injured. And we will see you after Thanksgiving. And as always, remember to live smart. Talking money, then you're talking no money.